The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's time to get down to business with $30 a month business internet. WOW Business offers 99.9% network reliability so that you can keep your business moving. $30 a month gets you 30 megabytes per second with 24/7 US-based support, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. Lock in our lowest priced offer for the support you need. Go to switchtowellbusiness.com. Offer for new customers with a 2-year agreement subject to change. Prices do not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.
You're listening to Voss and Bonnie's My Wife Hates Me on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
She really hates him, it's really true. Why did she marry this jackass Jew? Some people say that opposites attract, but this seems more like a suicide pact. He's totally sober, she's not that drunk. He's really old and she's got some spunk. He's totally holy as an asinine bomb, and she's just a little less dumb. She really hates him, it's really true.
Testing 1 2, testing 1 2. We are up and running. Testing. Welcome to My Wife Hates Me podcast. Bonnie is texting right now. She's trying to do whatever she's got to do. I just came in this morning on the red eye last night from Los Angeles, where I was there a couple days, and in San Diego. We'll talk about that. We have a lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff we've done in the last week.
Big things.
We didn't do a podcast last week. We're sorry. Bonnie was out in the Hamptons. We got to talk about that. I was jetting off to the West Coast, doing radio, podcasts, clubs, improv.
Did you get first class yesterday?
Well, I did with my miles, yeah. I got bumped up on first class going there just because of gold status. And I didn't want to take a risk. And I did it with miles, 17,500 miles. And it's kind of stupid because I slept the whole way. I would have slept the whole way.
But still, would you have, though? What if you had middle seat?
I had window emergency exit already. So we have a lot going.
Sometimes those don't go back.
Well, the one I did goes back.
Well, then
back.
Then who cares? Why did you get?
Because I wanted first class to be more comfortable.
Did you eat?
I slept. I don't even know. I don't think they even have food on a red eye. Because everybody sleeps. That's where they get you. The red eye, first class, I don't think has food, and they know people want to sleep, so they go, hey, guess what? We don't have to give them food, so we can still get what
people
we get.
People drink.
People are sleeping.
What time did you get on the flight? Did you get on the plane?
I got on the plane at 10:30. 10:40. The flight left at 11 something. I was out cold by 11... Within 5 minutes, I was knocked out. Okay, let's start off with your vacation. How was your vacation in the Hamptons?
It was great. It was really super fun. We went with Lindsay. Lindsay and Greg Hughes have a house in the old Hamptons. She's always calling it a dump. I walked in, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is so great. This is beautiful. She's like, yeah, we're going to get it all. You know, it's like, if I lived there, I would be in heaven. She's like,
so would I.
Not good enough for them. Nothing's ever good enough for them.
We were sitting on, I went out there.
Do you know they had like 7 kids before these two? But now they have the cutest kids on the planet because the other kids were not good enough for them.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
Oh.
We were sitting on, I went out there for one day.
They do have the cutest kids on the planet. They're so adorable.
Last Saturday night, I was working in Point Pleasant. I drove from Point Pleasant to the Hamptons to their house. No, to Bonnie's Hotel. And then we drove out to the Hamptons. And we were sitting on the beach with me, Bonnie, the kids, Opie and Lindsay. And it looked like Bonnie and I were like old college friends there visiting them. You know, ready to ask for money because, you know, one
yeah,
of us...
Yeah, we're in the dumps.
You were in the dumps. One of us has cancer or something or sick or...
You were like thinking like it's some like weird Bette Midler movie.
Yeah, it looked like an old Bette Midler movie and we're sitting there like Opie's waving to everybody that walks by like he's Mr. fucking...
He's like people are walking through the lot. He's like, don't cut through there.
But then when they walk by him on the beach, he's waving to all the neighbors like, you know.
At one point, some people walk by and he waved and he goes to Lindsay. They didn't even look at me. They didn't even wave.
Yeah, he actually.
They act like they don't know who I am.
He acts like he's the fucking mayor. Like you got to come and wave past when you walk past Opie, you know. And he's sitting there as white can be in the summer. You know, they're the brightest family.
They're so, well,
they're all.
Because Opie and Lindsay look exactly the same.
Yeah,
they look like brother and sister that had kids.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the whole family is just the blondest, whitest.
So, and so.
They're almost like the perfect Hampton. Like, you couldn't cast a more perfect Hampton family.
They're just, I'm telling you, you could see them back during World War II. You know, marching.
I forgot to tell you something. This is kind of funny. Because I was just thinking about like the perfect, you know, she's beautiful. He's quite handsome. And the other day, Rain and I were making a movie. Like, you know, we do that sometimes. We like come up with a movie. And she was casting it. And I said, oh, we need someone really handsome for that part. And she goes, Greg?
Really?
Yeah, I swear to God.
She put him in over me?
Well, she'd already cast you as a policeman in that one.
Oh, I get a cameo and he gets to be the star.
Yeah, well, she knows what handsome is.
Okay,
man.
So this is when you know.
Isn't that funny though? She was like, Greg?
Well, because she heard you probably kept saying how handsome
he
is.
Oh my God, he is dreaming.
He's not that handsome if you ask me. He's a little, I don't know. I just see him as just regular. What, you think he's handsome?
He's a physically, yeah, I mean,
you can't
get around, you know, the...
Oh, so you, every time you, when you were sitting on the beach, you were all fucking like...
I was like, No, they're very...
don't say they, we're talking about him.
Handsome couple together. She's gorgeous.
Yes, obviously.
It's a, you know...
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about...
He's 80 years older than she is.
We're talking about your crush you have on Opie.
I don't have a crush on Opie. I don't. He's too much like you.
No, he's not like me.
You're both obsessed with your waistlines, and you both like golf.
Yeah, but I do stuff about mine. I'm only kidding. So does
he. He looks great.
I know he does. I'm just kidding. But he. This is, you know, when you like fucking... After a while, I guess when you're successful in life, like we had to go to the supermarket and get stuff. You ever put underarm deodorant on and it cakes up and it gets real?
Come on, Rich. Come on.
So we had to get stuff at the supermarket and he was panicking. He like didn't know how to walk.
He didn't know how to
walk around and go, oh, ketchup. You know, he was like fucking veggie burgers.
He did buy an off-brand ketchup, which I've never seen anyone ever do.
He bought the fucking worst ketchup, like Heinz.
Like to save 10 cents?
No, he doesn't know. He doesn't know how to food shop.
He doesn't know what Heinz ketchup looks like?
Who doesn't know how to
food shop? First of all, an off-brand ketchup is either way low or way high. I mean, you have to go looking to find it. You don't just put out your hand and get the off-brand.
Yeah, he doesn't
Heinz
know.
Heinz is there in it prime goes location. Saying.
And if you don't go with Heinz, you go with Hunt's. You go either
but
one.
But even then, if you brought back Hunt's, you'd be like, what happened?
Why didn't you get Heinz?
But he tried to say that the supermarket was sold out.
He's crazy. He didn't know he was panicking. He's walking around like a fucking... He doesn't know where anything is. Like, you would know what aisles...
You kind of understand like, what they put together.
Yeah, like, you know, frozen food is in the frozen food...
You do know that?
Veggie burgers. Then he couldn't find the whipped cream. You know, it was like... I felt like the dairy usually. I felt like I was taking a little kid food shopping. So then... Okay, and then he made dinner. We barbecued turkey burgers and veggie burgers.
Uh-huh.
Which and chicken.
Lindsay and I had a couple of drinks down by the beach.
Which he panicked over. His are they done? Are they done?
Oh, how I know. Long, he was like,
how long did I put the veggie burgers on?
And I put butter in the potatoes, and he wouldn't let me. Then he was like, I'll get my own potatoes.
Yeah, but then he ate those potatoes because they were good.
No, he didn't.
He didn't eat any of the butter?
No.
No, he
didn't.
Oh, okay. But he panicked over. He's very panicky. And but he's calm. His panic is calm. But he is
well, you
panicking.
Can see, yeah, like he tries to pretend like it's not. He's like, are they done? I'm not sure they're done. But then he'll ask that like 200 times.
Yeah. And then all the stuff you guys left on the beach. I mean, it was tons. It was chairs.
Every day we took all that stuff out
but
and brought
wait,
it back.
But listen to me. There were chairs and umbrellas and toys and towels and blankets and this and that, right? So he wanted to, he goes, you know, I was going to drive him back to New York, which is the next thing I'll get to. And we go out to bring all the stuff back. You know, he wants to carry three. I go, why don't we put everything on the big lawn chair and we'll both just carry the lawn chair in so it's only one trip, which I'm sure you guys didn't do. But I've learned that from crossing dunes in Cape Cod when we went to Cape Cod.
We have a cart.
You had a cart?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't have a cart.
I'm just kidding. We didn't
have a cart. So we carried.
But you're like, the reason that you're telling this boring ass story
well, I'm not done.
Is just so that you can be like, look at how ingenious I am. 141 IQ.
You're right,
buddy.
Let's put it all on the lawn
chair. I saw
some
on TV the other day. They were talking about like it's a serial killer, and they're like, he thinks he's pretty smart, doesn't he? And the cop was like, well, or it was maybe it was a psychologist was like, he does have 120 IQ, which is very, very high. And I was like,
get
whoa,
the fuck out. That's nothing.
Rich. Boom.
So then I have to drive Opie.
You could be a serial killer.
I have to drive Opie back to New York, which I didn't have to. I was on the way. We get in the car and I turn the radio on Sirius. And the first thing that comes up when you turn on Sirius was Howard 101. Like I was, oh. And that's what came up like when he turned on my radio.
Oh, that's and so he was mad that you were listening to that?
No, he goes,
why
what
were
the
you
fuck?
Listening to that?
Well, I listened to ONA, but then I've heard, you know, it's like probably a show I
oh
was
my
on.
God.
But then I listen
Rich.
To Rich. But then I listen to Raw Dog and
oh
I listen.
Oh my God.
I listen to everything. And then, you know, I was listening to Golf Radio.
I'm shocked and appalled by you right now.
Why?
And you got caught.
And I got
it's like you were cheating. It's like you got caught cheating. Were you like a little sweaty when that happened?
And he was so nervous when I was driving.
Were
like,
you sweaty when that happened?
No.
Were you worried at all? Were you like, oh, this is embarrassing?
No, because I go, I listen to everything.
Oh my God. You don't listen to everything.
I do. I'm serious now. You haven't been in my car. I have Sirius.
Oh my God.
I listen to Raw Dog. I listen to Laugh USA. I've never really heard a funny comic on any of those. Like, I guess comedy does not translate very well over the radio.
I'm sure other people, regular people, think it's funny. They're
I
not.
I don't know.
They're
maybe
not
maybe
sitting
I'm
around in their own heads with jokes all the time the way you are.
So, and then we drove into New York. He was a little panicky because, you know, a couple close calls of people swerving. He's like, get out of that guy's way, this way. And we got back to New York and I dropped him off and I drove home. Then I flew to L.A. the next day. So, L.A., I went there with tons of anxiety. I always get anxiety when I go to L.A.
You always get anxiety regardless.
No.
I would like for someone to just make a note every time you say the word anxiety. I don't think we've done a podcast where we haven't brought up anxiety.
I get anxiety when I go to L.A. I don't get as much anxiety if I'm going to like Rochester or Buffalo because if I have to, I can get in a car and drive home.
But what is the, who cares about coming home? I mean,
if I'm panicking, having a panic attack or something, or I think I'm going nuts.
So the idea that you might have a panic attack is what's giving you anxiety.
And
does
that
seem
and
crazy?
That I'm that far away from home.
I know, but you're only getting anxiety because of your anxiety is now giving you more anxiety.
And plus I got to do radio shows and podcasts and spot. I had to do a spot at the Improv and I haven't worked in LA in a year and I didn't have my LA feel. Like I did a spot when
this is the thing that happens to you sometimes when you go to LA, you get too cool.
No, I wasn't even
and
cool.
And I'm like, please don't. That's what I said to you on the phone. I said, just don't be too cool.
Everybody comes up to me in LA like I'm a fucking...
Oh, come on.
They all
it's
kissing my ring. It's like...
They kiss your ring?
You got to see. When I was at the comedy store, I mean...
I would have been so grossed out by that.
So many fucking new comics come up to me at the comedy store. They're like, I'm like how I used to walk up to like a fucking Dom Irrera or a Jenny when I first started. You know what I mean? And... So I did the improv on first Wednesday morning. I did Jay Moore's radio show. He does sports radio. He's fucking amazing. He knows so much about sports.
But how much do you know about sports?
Sports.
How much do you know about sports?
Not even close to any.
Okay,
of
but
that.
What? Like, on a scale 1 to 10, what do you know about sports? What does he know about sports?
All sports.
Can you just?
He knows 1 to 10. He probably knows a 9.
And what do you know?
1.
So how do you even know that he knows a lot about sports? Because he could know a 3, and you'd be like, this guy knows everything.
Because I know when you're talking about certain players and drafts and coaches and trades. Okay, you know what he's fucking talking about, all right? You know what he's talking about. So it was, like, great radio. And, like, just the dumb little light smashes I did on the people that were in the production company, they're like, fucking, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. Like, one guy walked in, a big guy. He looked like Shrek. I called him Shrek. And then he went into the
Good one.
But to them, it's sports radio. You know, he hands me a note, too. I did one black joke. He goes, no more black jokes. Because it's corporate Fox. You know, you do anything. And but it was good radio. And then I was stuck out there, and I had a couple hours to kill before I did... I went to do Rogan's podcast. Yeah, it's like the coolest studio. Like, these fucking guys with their podcast.
Where's his studio?
In somewhere. I don't want to give it up, give it away.
Oh, but is it like, you know, in a warehouse? Is it in a garage?
No, it's an office. You know, like there's a bunch of like doctor's offices.
And then the podcast, and then the Rogan podcast studios.
Yeah, and in the studio.
So you go in, there's offices, and also then a room with the
mics. It's all separate places. You got your own entrance. It's not a big building. It's like a strip mall of offices.
Right, but in his, when you go through his doors,
you walk in the first
room. Is there a desk?
It's just the first room has like a pool table and all kinds of, you know, other stuff. Right, a pool table.
I heard you have the first time.
A pool table, a big one. And then you go into a studio. It's got TVs and monitors and cameras and fucking mics. I mean, it's the real deal.
Is it like doing O&A?
No, he has two guys working for him as he's doing it. There's two guys doing it.
One red man or whatever.
I think so. Yeah, and he's a comic.
He's nice.
He was cool. They were both cool. And I went out to lunch with him first. I met him for lunch at some Jewish deli out somewhere.
Who?
Rogan.
Oh,
because I got there early. He goes, "Are you hungry?" He goes, "Meet me here." And when I sat out, the owner came up and said, "How's everything to Joe?" He goes, "Hey," he goes, "Everything good with you, Rich?" I was excited he knew me. And Rogan goes, "Well, you're a fucking celebrity."
Oh, God. Rogan's now like
what?
Feeding you these.
Well, the owner of the place knew me. Fuck. I didn't think Rogan goes, "Hey, this guy Rich is coming."
You know
in.
What? You're right. I shouldn't be so mean about it because it's just that, like, I don't know. There's something about
The
other night I was at the Cellar and this kid at the table, he was a comic. I don't know who he was. And some woman came up and was like telling him, "Oh, you were so funny. You were so great. I was crying when you were on," or whatever. And I was standing and I looked at the rest of the table and I was like, oh, listening to other comics get praise is one of the grossest things that anyone has to
say. I was with you that night.
No. This was Thursday night.
When you go, you didn't tell me you went to the Cellar.
I did Red Eye, and then after I went to go pick up Marina, and she came with me to.
I thought you went to the Cabin.
Then we went to Cabin right after that.
And then the Cellar too?
No, we went to the Cellar first. She was at the Cellar. So I came and picked her up, and we went to Cabin.
And how did you pick her up? In a car?
In a taxi.
Didn't you have a town car take you home?
No, because the town car was then picking me up from Cabin. Oh. Whatever. I knew that you were going to get lost in the weird details of that story.
I like
details.
The
point was that do you or do you not enjoy, like, if you're sitting there and somebody's like telling the person, "You're the funniest person ever," there's something that dies inside you as a comedian, right?
Well, yeah, but
or is it just me? I'm just a horrible, horrible.
No,
human.
Nobody likes that. Nobody.
I don't even really like it when they're doing it to me.
When we were at fucking, when we were having breakfast, when we were having lunch, me and Rogan and his producer.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and his producer's name.
Not it was a different guy.
Oh.
And then, or sound guy. It might be a sound man. Then, when the owner came over, everything okay?
Rich has no gum in his mouth for the next five. Now he does. Wow, that was
two
fast.
People came over and
people tweeted about that when I ranted about your gum. They were like,
"Yeah,
yes.
Because of course they're going to stick up for you. If you ranted about it, you don't like my hair, people would go, why don't you change your hair?
Why don't you?"
So, yeah. When we were sitting down after the owner supposedly recognized me, unless Rogan
said.
You
really think it's supposedly, don't
supposed
you?
Whatever, Italy or how
oh
do you say it?
Oh my God, supposedly. It's not that difficult.
So after the owner recognized me, unless Rogan said, hey, this guy's coming in, Rich Voss, which I doubt he did. But anyhow.
But that's the way your brain works. Do you see how low your self-esteem is? What? That you were like, he knew who I was. And then the next second you had to be like, maybe Rogan said, say hi to Rich. He's coming in with me.
Well, then two people at different times came up to Rogan and said, can I take a picture with you? Big fan, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, my husband loves you. And you know, they didn't recognize me. And I was very.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. You don't take pictures with him and not with me.
Right. That's
even though
what
he's
I'm saying.
Even though he's a much bigger star than I am.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. So, you know, I'm trying to eat here. Okay. You don't take pictures with Mr. Rogan when I'm eating and not take him with me. But then I did his podcast, which was. It was great. It's not like. It was such a. It's a good vibe. I was telling like drug stories and comedy stories, but me and him had so many old comedy stories. You know, we started around the same time. You know, and
really?
We just talked. Yeah, we just talked. You know, we were talking about Boston comedy. And
he was one of the first comics I met when I came to New York.
Boston. He lived in. Then he went to New York, and I just had a fucking cool time. But I started petering out because his fucking podcast is 3 hours.
Whoa!
They videotape it too. They show it. And they rerun it, you know. So towards the end, I was starting to like, you know, I was getting a little out of it, you know, because the whole day I was up at like 5:30 that morning and flew in the night before.
How they do 3 hours every day?
He's fucking, but he knows. Let me tell you, and I'm not kissing ass. He's a fucking smart dude.
Yeah.
Besides being, he's really fucking smart. Like he has like scientists on his podcast. He has authors. He has all. He doesn't have just comics. He's a fucking smart dude, okay? Like, I, you know, he's saying shit. I have no idea what he's talking. I mean, look, I'm street smart. Everybody knows that, okay? Everybody knows that.
Oh, my God, yeah, because you can't stop fucking telling
you
people
know,
that.
If we're talking street, then I'm going to keep up with you. But when we're talking...
But when you say you're street smart, you mean, like, you know to turn left on that street, or that's what you're talking about?
See, it's Monday, so you don't have to fucking knock him dead.
Is it Monday?
Yes.
We're already doing a podcast.
No. Oh, okay. Wait. Whatever.
What's going on?
E-Rock just texted me about our show tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And he said he's running. He's doing our show, but he has no interns to get us food. In case we had to, wait, let's see.
That's what you yelled, oh
wait,
no.
I'm
about.
Running your show tomorrow. I have no interns to do any food runs for the show. Is that the whole problem? So, what's he saying? We got to bring our own goddamn food?
Well, the food, I don't want to get their dumb food. They get the grossest food.
Huh?
Every time I've gotten food there, I don't know where they go, but it's like they go to the, you know, they look up, what has a C? Then they go get food from there.
So anyhow, I did Rogan's podcast, which it was him and, you know, him and Jay were complete opposites. Like Jay's radio energetic, mm-hmm. you know, like fucking all over the place. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, you go. But Rogan's was like nice and mellow and it was telling stories and it was fucking.
But both were equally enjoyable.
Yeah, but it was a breath.
How long was
it was a breath of fresh air. I was at Jay's for a couple hours, but you only get on, you know, because he's doing sports updates.
But he's doing real radio.
Yeah. And him and you know, it's weird because I think him and Rogan had something about Jay stealing material. Then you cut, read, whatever. And
no, not yeah, Rogan didn't say.
Yeah, Rogan and Jay. But Rogan,
well,
has,
I don't
no,
know it.
Rogan has no beef with him, and Jay has no beef with Rogan.
Well, so?
It's so weird. But they had a, they, I think they had something. I don't
I
know.
I don't remember any of that.
Yeah, it, I think it goes way back. But they were complete opposites. But Rogan's opposites doing it. But Rogan's was, Jay's was great. It helped because he was also in San Diego where I was performing.
Oh, so it helped get people in.
Yeah, it helped get some people in the seats. Rogan's fucking, I got so many tweets. I'm telling you, I got more tweets from doing Rogan's fucking podcast than I've gotten from anything else. You know, pretty much. You know, like when you do.
So you,
like,
guys didn't talk about me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't get one tweet.
He loves you. He fucking said, I always love Bonnie. I think she's funny. And like, he always thought you were funny. Way, you know, everybody always says how funny you used to be in L.A. and you were funny. I can't see you being that good when you were in L.A. I mean, all right.
I was a different kind of funny, but I was funny. I mean, I got a lot of stuff. You act like I was just some horror.
No.
until I met you. Yeah, okay. I admit, I couldn't talk to an audience until I started going on the road with you. That was not my thing. With my bag, you know what I'm saying? And it's funny because then you told me, and Jacqueline Novak loves this story. She makes me tell it all the time, how I went on the road with you and please don't take the call.
I have to. It's a very important. Go ahead. We're listening.
No, no, I'm
Hello?
Not.
Hello. Hey, what's going on? Can I call you back in
oh,
like 15
very,
minutes?
Yeah. Very important.
We're doing a or 20 minutes. All right. Bye. Cool. Great. I'll call you in a few.
Who's that?
It's a radio show I'm doing tomorrow morning. That's why I had to take that call.
You're such a jerk.
Okay, so what did Jacqueline say?
Okay, so because when I started going on the road with you, I was bombing a lot, as I think you recall.
I don't.
And it was weird because in my mind, I thought I was a pretty good comic.
Your nails look pretty. Did you just have them done that blue? Go ahead.
This is why I don't like doing the podcast with you, honestly. Because I thought about it, actually. Like, why do I enjoy it? Like, I'm excited. I'm going to do Keith and the Girl on Thursday. I'm excited about doing other people's podcasts. But with you, the reason I don't is because I'm like the sidekick that's like, I'm the one who listens to you.
Are when you crazy? You're the one that beats me up all the time.
Okay,
everybody
but it doesn't
says,
matter. I'm color, whatever you call it. Like,
you're the sidekick?
Well, it is your podcast.
No, it's not.
Because it's called My Wife, so that's you. You're the subject.
My wife is you. So
I know, but my, you're saying, you're the one saying it.
Oh,
my wife.
Everybody thinks it's more your podcast than
mine. Listen, the point that I'm trying to make.
Okay, go ahead.
Is that you don't listen.
I'm
to
listening
me when
right
I'm
now.
Telling you a story.
Yes,
never ask any follow-up questions
yes, I
of
didn't.
Any depth or anything. You always
go ahead. Tell me about what Jacqueline now. Go ahead.
So then you said to me once on the road, when we were on the road, because I'd already done a Letterman and might have done a Tonight Show by that point.
You didn't do the Tonight Show by that point.
Yeah, I believe I did, because I started going on the road with you after Last Comic Standing.
Yeah. Your Tonight Show was not like your Letterman. Your Tonight Show came after your Letterman. After.
So, but the point is,
do you hear noise? Other noise?
This is,
do you I'm see, listening. Go ahead. I'm just asking if you hear the noise. I don't want it to ruin your story. Go ahead. So what's the point?
No point. Just that you told me I had to do crowd work, so I did crowd work.
Okay. No, you tell the story.
Go ahead.
No, I'm not. I'm listening
you
to
said,
you.
You said with my crowd, you have to learn how to do crowd work. And I said, I'm not that kind of comic. I don't have to learn how to do it. And you were like, You have to start doing it. So I did every show. I would try to do crowd work, whatever.
And
at
you're better than me.
At some
it
point,
now.
I got good at it. Then you said you have to stop doing crowd work
in front of me, because you got too good. But now I don't care because I don't do as much crowd work. But we don't work together that much because we're.
But
both.
Now it's almost like I can't do stand up without doing it.
Because it's no fun. It's more fun. It
well,
keeps
you
on your
do
toes.
Yeah, I mean, the audience likes it. It's high stakes. And it's fun. It's fun for yourself when you start talking to someone and funny things are coming out and it's all ad-libbed. But anyway, I don't remember what the point was for
that.
The
point was...
Oh, so you said, yeah, people said I was funny in L.A. So I was funny. I mean, I sometimes I think back maybe I wasn't that funny, but...
Well, were you funny or not funny?
I don't know. I mean, I did weird things. Like, I did stuff like one time I took a gun on stage. Can you believe I would do this?
A real gun?
No, no. But it looked like a real gun. And I would put it on the stool and I'd say, I'd read out of this book, this comedy book, and it said, the line in the comedy book was like, in comedy, there's always bloodshed. Either the comedians or the audiences. Something like that, right? And I would put the gun down and then read that thing and then go, okay, let's get started. I don't know why. You were a prop act. But I did do a couple of proppy things. I still, in my heart, would love to be more... I wish it wasn't so negative to carry props around, because I think props could be really funny. Like, I've always wanted to, like, have... Like, do a joke where I go, before I got diarrhea, I could barely say the word... But now I carry some around with me, this baggie, and take it out of my pocket.
I used to do props when I first started.
But that was like a different kind of comedy than I do now.
You know what I did when I first started as a prop? One prop.
What?
I took a jar and I blew smoke in it. Like, so you see smoke, and I think I said, this is Farrah Fawcett's fart.
Why? I kind of get it. I met her once at the improv.
That's when she was super hot. It was like
she was always. I mean, I met her at the improv. I mean, she had to been, I don't know how old, late 50s maybe. How old was she when she passed away? But she was still hot.
No, I'm.
She knew who she came to the improv with.
Don't say Alan Bursky.
Alan Bursky.
Ugh.
I think he was her agent.
Anyhow, so okay, now let's move on. So everybody,
she was very nice.
So, and then I left. I did a club in San Diego over the weekend. It was fucking amazing. It was just amazing. It was a lot of fun. A bunch of new comics. I would just torture them all. They were great. One guy, he had this real funny bit. I don't know what it was. I go, that was really funny. If you could just stretch that bit into 45 minutes or whatever. But they were good comics. They were all nice new comics. Not new, you know, so maybe somewhere 3-4 years in the making. I don't know, 5. And the club owner, it was just a great club. The Madhouse Comedy Club was a lot of fun. And now I'm home here. And now this is where it all begins. 1 week. This week is going to be a nightmare. Next week. But it's all our movie.
Why is it a nightmare?
Time-wise. Timing. The timing.
This is all you've ever wanted in life is to be busy in your career. And then when it's busy in your career, you say things like, this is a nightmare.
Not a nightmare. I meant this is going to be hard to take care of what we have to take care of.
It'll be fun. It's going to be fun.
We have... Our movie comes out tomorrow.
You can download it tomorrow.
It comes out Tuesday the 26th on iTunes. Oh. I don't know when this podcast is going up.
Oh.
Hopefully it'll go up tonight. I'm going to ask him to put it up tonight because we're taping it on Monday the 25th. We are going, what is it, behind the fourth wall or something when you tell someone, what is that?
Breaking the fourth wall?
Yeah, we're breaking the fourth wall.
I never know what wall it is.
I don't understand any of that. And I don't even understand talking to yourself in third person. I don't get that whole thing either.
Well, third person is using your own name.
But that's, you're you. You're talking about your own name. You're not a third person. If anything, you're the second person talking
about.
Well,
then why are you using your own name? If you say Rich Voss, isn't like that. You're talking about yourself in third person.
No, you would be the second person. If I go Rich Voss.
Oh, my God. I gotta go.
What?
It's not like you'd be the second person. It's
I'm
not like
person
you're counting off people who've talked about you.
Yeah. If I go, hey.
Oh, like the guy who met you with Joe Rogan, he's like the 2000th. He's talking about you in the 2000th person.
No, I'm just saying, so Rich Voss, you know, Rich Voss is
Rich
great.
Voss doesn't talk about himself Rich in Voss third person.
Doesn't talk about himself. That would mean I'm talking about Rich Voss, so it'd be the second person.
Oh my God.
I just don't get it.
No, clearly.
That makes no sense.
It doesn't.
What you're saying, you're not going to CrossFit with your underarms like that, are you? Let me see. Oh no, they're shaved, but you know, it's either, you know what it is? I like it more either with hair or when it's stubble like that.
Boundaries, so. Something you used to have and no longer do.
Okay, so boundaries.
Let it go. You're never gonna have them again when you're with this jackass Jew.
our movie. What could they call us tonight and say it's not coming out tomorrow?
No, it's coming out tomorrow. It's available on iTunes August 26th.
Under comedy.
Under comedy. It's on the front page, I believe.
On pre-order. It's number 4 on pre-order on the front
page.
Yeah,
we did. Thank you, everyone who pre-ordered it. Yes. Doing well. iTunes seems to be happy with us. You know, we jumped through a lot of hoops. And
we made this on a shoestring.
Rich and I... I think we should be...
Is that what it's called, on the shoestring?
Yeah.
Why don't we say we made it like almost no money?
Well, you could say it that way too. These are just little sayings that caught on in the vernacular somehow. I don't know. And we use them. You don't have to. A sign of intelligence is actually not using cliches. So
yeah, we made
go
this
ahead
for like
make
nothing.
Up your
we
own.
Made this for barely nothing.
Barely nothing?
Yeah.
I think might mean the opposite of what you want it to mean.
No.
Barely
nothing. Yeah. Nothing.
Is
and
zero.
We were barely nothing.
Oh, so like two.
Yeah. Barely nothing.
$2. Most movies that come out on iTunes, even the independent ones, they have, if you look at the credits, they have a studio or a production company or both. Oh, they have a lot of other people involved, producers, whatnot, that give the production money. If not in the beginning, at some point they start getting more money to finish the movie, whatnot. And Rich and I have none of that. Rich and I made this movie
By ourselves
with no help from anyone except for we got some finishing money from
Opie
and Lindsay. But we had a producer that effed us over.
Yeah,
even
completely screwed us up.
Screwed us over.
Cost us more fucking money than...
Took money out of our pockets.
But that's besides the point.
But anyway, despite that,
We had
finished
editing,
the movie, which I think we should be proud of ourselves.
Yes.
You actually, I was thinking about today when I was driving, like, you funded this movie right up until the very end, completely on your own, by doing stand-up. That's pretty remarkable. You should be proud of yourself. By doing what you love to do, you made a movie.
I didn't make a movie from playing golf, but I love to play golf. You're right. I made a movie.
Okay, you want to... Is this the kind of conversation... Is this how you want it to...
No.
Halt?
I'm
trying to give you a compliment.
We both made a movie from comedy. You did, too.
Well, I put a lot less money into it than you did.
Yeah, but
I did
time
put a lot of
effort.
Time and effort. But.
And that's because you're a comic and you have a lot of time off where you could put your time and effort in. You know what I mean?
I didn't have a lot of time off. I took a lot of time
off. Yeah, so that's what I mean. You can make your own hours. You're lucky.
Oh, my God, Rich. Stop what? Talking. I gave you a very nice compliment, and now yours back to me is... It's insulting, quite frankly. So,
well, I didn't mean
so
you were
don't.
On top of... I tell everybody that you transcribed all 60
Stop
hours.
Stop saying about the transcribing. That is not a creative thing. That's just hard work.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Then,
I know, but
editing,
who wants to be... Come on.
Then you edited it all. You sat on top of the editors. We went through a couple editors.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. We made a lot of changes. We were back and forth in and out of the editing bay.
Yeah.
You know, there's a
Using
lot of
the
stuff.
Lingo.
And then Postworks saved our movie. Postworks
was great.
Like fucking like they were like magicians.
They're real. That's because we finally started using. See
real.
What happens when you start using real people? Like,
yeah.
We kept trying to go under cost, using this, using that. Once you start using people who are good at what they do, it makes an enormous difference.
You know.
We used Henry Phillips, who is a amazing comedian in his own right. If you ever get the chance to go see him do stand up, he's very, very funny. He does original songs, but they're great. And he is also a composer, and he did all the music in our movie.
All of it, except for two songs.
Except for two songs.
So,
but all the background music and everything, and I think he was instrumental in giving the movie a sound that was, you know, meaningful.
That's what he does. That's what he does.
I was like hoping he'd help me out at one point.
That's what he does. Uh-huh. There were scenes that we took out of the movie that were so fucking funny.
Well, they we had to get fit. Because people kept saying, get it down to 87 minutes.
But that one scene with Bobby Kelly.
I know, but we should put that up at some point for something.
Yeah, that was
just put it
fucking...
in like... Like, we should get a web... We should make a website, Women Aren't Funny, and put some, like, stuff that didn't make it into the movie there.
That was fucking...
Because there was also some stuff with Chris Rock and what's
Carol Leifer.
Carol Leifer.
That was funny.
And Carol Leifer ended up getting taken out of the movie. Some people got taken out of the movie just because the sound was bad or the camera was bad.
The lighting.
Yeah, and know. It didn't have anything to do with them. Because, you know
Margaret
what I feel?
Cho.
Margaret Cho, the lighting was so bad. We just couldn't make it
Michelle
work.
Michelle Ballin.
Michelle Ballin was actually really funny in the movie. And we just had to... Just didn't work. You know who else was in the movie?
That
we
Jeff did? Frost. The lighting was bad with Jeff Frost.
Yeah.
Well, who else?
What's her name? You know, she's from
Paula Bell was so fucking
so
funny.
So great. And the sound was off on her.
Paula Bell, if the sound was right.
She's very, very funny. Would have
been
comedian.
She probably would have been throughout the whole movie.
Oh, I'm sure, because she had a... She
was
also
fucking,
was like such a like a different kind of voice for the female side of things.
She if the person who shot that,
and she was mean to me all the time. I mean, it was
funny.
I hope
mean.
It was a character she was doing, but she was really mean to me as the interviewer, and so it was like funny.
She would have been throughout the movie if the sound and the shot came out.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. Paula Bell was probably the funniest out of all the people.
Yeah.
I mean, Sarah too was really funny, but
Chelsea
that was,
Peretti is
Chelsea
great
Peretti,
in the
yeah.
movie.
But Paula Bell, I could have seen her, and it's so fucked up that the shot.
And Maria Bamford's really funny in the movie too.
Yeah, they're funny, but they're really funny in the movie. But
Paula Bell had sort of like a
Paula Bell would you could have dragged her throughout the movie
because
with
she was
sound
a different
bites.
Voice.
She
yes.
had so many sound bites that you yeah. could have kept yeah. bringing yeah. her throughout the movie. Yeah. But the shot was so fucked up. We had my friend Gullup shoot that day.
Oh.
That fucking asshole.
Oh.
If we had a real cameraman.
Well, see, that's the problem. But he convinced me that he was the man for the job.
John Bizarre shot a couple days. His stuff came out pretty well.
So
pretty good.
He laughed throughout so much of it. Remember
Wanda.
When Wanda, he was yeah. like, you can hear him like.
Yeah, I know. You shouldn't have a cameraman laughing.
He was like, I mean, Wanda's funny, but Jesus, have some professionalism.
But he did. He did.
But he
shoot,
did great. I mean. His shots look great.
His shots were great. You're right. But it kind of makes it real that you hear the fucking cameraman
laughing.
People
don't think it's the cameraman. People think it's you, probably.
Well, it's the cameraman laughing. The yeah. fucking idiot. But and then Gullup comes in when we shot Carol Leifer.
An entire day. Yeah, Tig was in it and we couldn't use her. She was great. There was like 7 people that we couldn't use. Like 2 days of shooting down the drain. Natasha Leggero was in it. And the lighting was just terrible. I mean, she's like a super attractive girl. You'd think it wouldn't matter.
I fucked up Margaret Cho's shot.
I just made that sound awful about Natasha Leggero. But it
why?
Because I go, she's super attractive. You'd think the lighting wouldn't matter, which makes it sound like.
She was too ugly
to put in
no,
the movie.
No, she wasn't too ugly.
But it just was like bad.
It just the lighting
the framing
was
really bad.
We salvaged Dane Cook.
We had to.
We salvaged
because he's a main character in the movie.
Yeah, we had to salvage the fucking
Dane Cook interview. Yeah, yeah. That was thanks to Postworks.
Yeah, they.
But he was the only one from those 2 days, and it was just kind of fluke. I mean, it still looks. Like weird, but it was just kind of fluky because that we were able to use it because we were shooting him with our own camera also.
You're from behind? No, I was shooting you.
Yes, yeah, so
I wish
we could get some shots that like when it wasn't usable the other way, we went with the handheld that you were using.
I wish I would have had the handheld on him the whole time on everybody because our handheld was fucking HD.
Yeah,
high def.
Thank you. A lot of people didn't know what HD was, so that's helpful.
you know,
to
we
those,
had a
to
nice,
those lay people.
We have like three cameras.
No idea.
We have like three cameras we never used again. We paid $1,200 for that fucking camera or more, and the boom mic, and we have not taken it out of the closet ever since.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I don't even know if I remember how to use it.
I never knew how to use it.
I don't even remember if I knew how to use it.
I never knew how to use it.
I don't know.
So the movie...
But all that hard work
was
paid
off. Done on a bootstrap.
We got a lot of really positive reviews from all these different
festivals. We
festivals
talked about
and stuff.
People. You know what the problem is? We've talked about this movie for so long, and people are going to watch it now and go, "Really?
That's it?
That's it?"
No, I think people will like it because you see Patrice in it. Patrice is in it
a lot.
So
funny, yeah.
And I mean, it's interesting, like, the people that were on top when we started making... Like, it's interesting how people moved around, sort of...
Career-wise. You know.
I mean...
They were all on top. Well, now Rosie's going back to The
yes,
View.
Yeah. Is okay. she for sure?
Isn't she?
I don't know.
I think so.
And this is Showbiz Corner with Richard Bonney. Is she? I don't know.
Joan Rivers is always Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers is fabulous.
Sarah's always Sarah.
Yeah.
Wanda, Last Comic, is back on top again. She never
went
down.
Oh, and also Anthony. Opie and Anthony are back together again in this movie.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah,
you
can see Opie and Anthony together. You're right.
And this is also pre. We interviewed Todd Glass before he came out of the closet.
We did?
Yeah.
This is Todd Glass where you think
Todd Glass before
is,
he's like
before you. This is Todd Glass where you think he's eating pussy.
Yeah.
This is Todd Glass where you're going.
Hey, you see.
I wonder who hey, he's banging.
Pussy eater.
And then
but
boom,
it's not.
But it's not.
It's cock gobbler.
This is Andy Kindler's in this movie before he pissed off the whole open Anthony audience at the Montreal Festival this year. Okay. Maria Bamford's on fire now. Chelsea Peretti
was like, I mean, actually the reason Chelsea Peretti's in the movie is because Sarah Silverman said she'd do it if we also put Chelsea Peretti in the movie, which was not twisting her arm by any stretch because we love Chelsea Peretti. We even, you know, she was, I think, well, I met her when she was dating Norton.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
So this was right after that. So, yeah, no, that was like... And
Sarah
she,
said that? I don't remember Sarah saying that.
Yeah, Sarah said that. Well, she wasn't like, I will only do it, but she was like, can you please? And Heather, what's her last name? Heather.
The one breastfeeding?
Yeah, the new mom comic in there is also because...
Oh, Sarah knew her too?
Yeah.
How many people did Sarah make me put in our movie? No.
Also.
Paul Mooney, if you want.
Sarah came to a lot of the editing and chose shots. Also Heather is also somebody that I knew from Los Angeles who's like really, really funny.
I'm glad that she said put Chelsea Peretti. I mean...
We would have anyway, maybe.
Of course, I would have, yes.
I mean, it might have just been like, oh.
Chelsea Peretti's the only one that came prepared.
She came with notes.
She
and even
prepared.
After I was done the questions, she was like, I had a couple more things. I mean, we could have made a whole movie about her. Her answers were so good.
Joan Rivers
so
sat
funny.
With you for an hour, didn't she?
I ran out before Joan did. And she was like, well, come on, anything else? And I was like, I just had to keep making stuff up. Like,
Rita Rudner was great.
Yeah, you actually
interviewed Rita Rudner. I mean, you know, Rita Rudner's one of the best fucking joke writers in comedy.
Well, Chris Rock also, we interviewed him at the Cellar. It was really noisy in there.
Yeah, we interviewed Chris for like 30 minutes and
But he said so many funny things at the table, and one of the things he said was that Rita Rudner was the best joke writer.
Yes.
But again, we had some sound issues.
Okay, we didn't keep that in? No.
I don't think so.
Yeah, he did. Because she's a great joke writer.
Anyway,
so
download the movie.
What
you
else?
We'd love to hear what you think, only if it's positive. And
no, and listen, here's
Bill Burr's not in the movie. But that had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, Bill would have been in, you know, so many people.
He might have been good in the movie because he would have taken it very Seriously.
Well, we couldn't. We try. You know, there's certain.
Why didn't? What?
Because
just wasn't
we didn't
around.
Have time, and we you can't connect with her. You know, when you have a camera crew, everybody isn't at your beck and call.
Right.
And you're not at their call. So, yeah. You know, he's living in L.A. at the time. We were only in L.A. twice shooting. We thanked the Laugh Factory. They let us shoot at the Laugh Factory. You know, the Improv let us shoot at the Improv.
Which we tried. She was in it till the very, very, very end. But there was like, I interviewed her in a weird way because I thought it would be funnier for the movie. It didn't work at the end of it all. But the day that we had our camera crew coming to New York to get people, and then she called me. She's like, I can't make it. Remember?
Yeah.
And I was like, why? And she was like, I just broke up with my boyfriend. She was really sad. And I was like, okay, well. Yeah, you still need to get into New York, get here. Well, I don't know where she was. And then later she told people that story that, like, how mean I was about, like, well, you can cry about it after you're done the interview because we have a camera crew set up and waiting.
And we didn't use it.
And then we didn't end up using it. But she was really funny in it, too. I mean, she's great. She's always great, but. She's in it for a minute in a different scene.
Morgan Murphy's in it,
which we didn't use her interview because of issues also.
Wouldn't you, legal issues?
No. Well, we filmed, she worked at Fallon. We filmed backstage at Fallon. We were totally allowed, and we got all this stuff at Fallon. It was really good. It's just, it's hard to like, it's.
You don't like these people that you edited out? Is that the reason they're not?
You know, a lot of them looked at me weird. I said, you know what?
I'm just going to take him out. You just, that's how you feel about it.
No, but
it?
We had like really great stuff at the, behind the scenes at Fallon because, you know, he had the only female writer at the time, which was Morgan.
Okay.
But you know what happens is that you have these great ideas and then you realize like I'm basically slamming every other late night talk show. Like, oh, do I really want to do
it? We had Eddie Brill before he got fired. When he was working with Letterman.
Yeah.
Eddie Brill was working with Letterman.
Stop. He booked me on Letterman twice. By the way, we should talk about. What? Rich.
Why are you mad that I brought up Eddie Brill?
No, come on. You were picking your nose with two fingers.
No, I got a cut. It's not a pick. Go ahead. So what are you saying?
No, I'm doing Letterman for the third time on Wednesday. I'm taping Wednesday, but I have a feeling it's not going to air till Thursday because they said they taped two shows on Wednesday.
So what are you saying about Eddie Brill?
He booked me on my first two.
Yeah, and then you said we should do
so then I remembered I'm doing Letterman. I should talk about that. I guess that's not something that you're interested in since.
Yes, I was going to bring it up.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was.
That's fine.
I was going to bring it up. You're doing Letterman.
They really are very specific on each and every word that you do on that show. I went through so many like different.
Yeah, but you know what?
But it's fine. It's a good set, and I like
that's
it.
That's what you do. You do TV well. You like that. You walk out. You knock it out.
I walk out. Yes, you have to. If you crawl, they really get upset about that.
See, that's the kind of jokes that got you to do to your third Letterman. What? Are you nervous?
No.
Why not?
I'll tell you what my main concern is.
What?
Is what I'm going to wear. Because every time I envision myself, it's like...
Well, you want to look skinny.
Oh, my God. Why would you say that?
That's what every girl, like, they go, what's going to make me look
skinny? Oh, my God. That's not what I was thinking.
What?
I was thinking I'm going to look like... I'll get an outfit and you'll be like, oh, hey, Paula Poundstone.
Oh, that's how you look. Yeah.
Because I like wearing like menswear.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of cool. You come out, you're cool.
I just think it's weird when women are like wearing like some tight dress. And
you don't
want to
wear a dress.
Weird,
you don't want to look like fucking,
weird,
you know,
jokes.
You're coming out like Cinderella. You want to come out like a fucking dude.
But they do want you to look nice, but I can't just wear jeans.
You're so pretty, so it doesn't matter. The focus is going to be on your prettiness.
Stop trying. You know what it is? I realize when you try to be nice, it's so disingenuous that no, like it's.
What are you talking about?
No one believes you. It's like the worst acting in the world. Well, I mean, you're a tippa-tu.
Is that what it is?
Tippa-tu.
I can't believe. Gross.
Okay, let's wrap this shit up.
What are we trying to say? I'm working at the Stand this weekend. Do you call in for spots?
I didn't get it.
At the comic strip?
Yeah.
What the fuck? I think Friday night, this Friday, you're at this at Stand Up New York, though. They kept you in this Friday.
Oh.
Yeah, you're there this Friday, I'm pretty sure. I'm at the Stand all weekend. The Stand in New York City. And then next weekend, I don't fuck.
You know, it's the summer. We're wrapping up.
We're wrapping up the summer.
I know.
This is a quick summer. I miss... listen, if this podcast comes out tonight, get the movie tomorrow. If it comes out tomorrow, get it tomorrow. If the movie comes out Wednesday, get it Wednesday. Whenever the fuck you can get this movie, get this movie. I promise you'll like it. The only reason I have not released my 4-CD Ridge Voss 141 IQ is because I don't want to cross-promote. It'd be too much promotion.
Well, you know what you're doing, though? It's weird because you bring up your 141 IQ every time anyway to say that it's not coming out. It's like you're weirdly promoting something that's not happening.
Well, I have it. I'm just not putting it online.
But you're still spending time talking about it.
Well, I mean, I'll sell it to people at my shows, but I'm not going to put it online now.
Can we go?
Where?
I mean,
are we going to play tennis tonight?
I got to go to my thing.
All right. Listen.
My instructor said, he goes, I listened to your podcast. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Please don't. He's like, it was really funny.
Something's weird about you and your instructor, the way you talk about your instructor. My instructor.
DK.
How does he, what does he instruct you? What is he?
He's mean sometimes. I feel like crying. Yeah.
All Asian people are attractive. Don't you think so?
Not to women.
Really? Well, most Asian girls are attractive.
Yeah, to men. His wife is very, very pretty.
Yeah, most Asian girls are very pretty.
And his daughter is friends with Raina. They get along well.
Oh, we have Raina's got to come down and say hi. She hasn't said hi in a
Goodbye.
While.
Goodbye. I don't care. You want to? If you want to sit around and fucking fluff it up, blah blah blah, to the fucking poor people that need to get off this fucking thing. Fine. Go. Call her. Take 10 minutes for her to come down.
Nah. All right. I'll wrap it up. We'll see you. Thanks. And there you have it. Bye.
If you enjoyed My Wife Hates Me, subscribe and check out all the great podcasts at riotcast.com.
She really hates him. It's really true. Why did she marry this jackass Jew? Some people say that opposites attract, but this seems more like a suicide pact. He's totally sober, she's not that drunk. He's really old and she's got some spunk. He's totally holy as an asinine bomb, and she's just a little less dumb. She really hates him, it's really true. But somewhere deep down, she loves him too.